developers out there, thanks for joining us tonight for the second episode of the CleanTech Show on Kofi's Dev Radio. We're broadcasting from Denswano, Koforidua, Ghana, close to the cool breeze of the Denso River nearby. Tonight's episode is about databases, and specifically MongoDB, a very popular NoSQL database. We hope to learn and answer some of the questions developers might have trying to get into MongoDB. Many discussions online don't actually say so much goodness about MongoDB. As a developer, it can be confusing weighing the options. We hope tonight's discussion will help answer some of your questions. I'm Rex Fadinkansa, a senior web developer, and will be your host for tonight. After this quick word from our sponsors, I'll introduce our guest, Rodney Boachi. Tonight's episode is sponsored by The African Dream and supported by Barcamp Ghana. The African Dream is all about telling the African story from an African perspective to awaken humanity. Check out theafricandream.net to read and watch amazing African stories by great men and women of African origins. Barcamp Ghana brings people interested in Ghana together for an informal networking forum where attendees share ideas, discuss interests, network and learn. Visit barcampghana.org to learn more about the next barcamp close to you. Stay tuned, we'll be back shortly. Hello again and welcome back. With us is Rodney Boachi. Rodney is a software engineer based in Koforidua who's built mobile applications for Android using Java and C Sharp. Rodney is more of the RESTful guy and can't do without the idea of APIs. Today, he joins us to discuss his experience with MongoDB and what developers should look out for during their quick prototyping and development of their apps or web applications. So, thanks for joining us, Rodney.
Thank you very much.
You are into more of RESTful stuff. Can you quickly tell us a bit what a REST is, whatever it is?
Oh, okay. Basically, I just love the idea of building applications which are interconnected over the web. So let's say if I'm building an application, I should just have one central location. That would be my API, whereby all the other devices or let's say applications can connect to whether web, mobile, or whatever can consume the same RESTful API. I think that's a clean solution and I'm all for that.
Yeah, I also like that idea. And how long have you been doing this RESTful applications, working on that?
Okay, I should say I started somewhere in school. That was in around 2010, yeah, in university.
What university was that?
I was in All Nations University College.
For the audience out there, All Nations University is based in Koforidua. It used to be the only university around in Koforidua, but now we have the Koforidua Technical University as well.
Yeah, exactly.
How long have you been in tech?
Okay, actually, I've been in tech for quite a long time. Let me say, when I was around 12 years. Yeah, I think so. Around 12 years, 10 to 12 years. I actually got addicted to these computers. Those days, all we used to do on computers were France 98 and all those stuff. I just love the idea of computers. I was so addicted to it. I would say I was into tech, basically. But it got fully formal when I went into the university. And then I just was asking, how can people build mobile applications? And then I would just ask people and then they'll be like, yeah, it's possible. But it's like most people were not actually doing it. So that's how come I actually dived into Java.
I personally have never done Java that seriously. I think I started with Java some years ago, but you know, I had to stop and go all in with the all hail Python. I'm sure you are going to be
that's a topic for another day.
Yeah, but I got interested in Python more than Java, so I dropped it. But Java is great and it's been used for Android device, Android application. So
yeah,
we understand our discussion today is about MongoDB, the backend for storing the information. But
yeah. You
went into Android and MongoDB became your go-to choice. But then you've played with many other backends. Tell us a bit about that.
In the beginning, when I started doing Android, those days in school, it was actually confusing because I was not finding my way. It's like you are self-teaching yourself, and you are so confused. You just Google something, you are just confused, and you feel like giving up. But it seems you also want to solve a problem, so actually you just keep moving forward. And thankfully, we made some little strides, and then that's how I actually got into mobile, yeah.
Oh, okay. And how has the experience been so far?
Yeah, mobile is cool, but Ghana is not fully ready yet. It will take up some time, hopefully.
Yeah.
But the future looks very promising.
When you compare non-Ghanaian or non-African built apps, I mean apps built by non-Africans, when you compare them to the Ghanaian app industry and what we see, what do you think of what the Ghanaian developers are working on?
Oh, there are actually awesome developers in Ghana. I know of some, a few. I know of, there's a certain guy called Bubu. Actually, you can see that he's able to whip up very beautiful interfaces here and there. And yeah. I know he's at, I think, AF Radio. He's the founder or something.
Great. That means there are some great...
Yeah, there are some great apps and there are some trashy apps.
I think, yes, there are definitely... I mean, on the Play Store, you're definitely going to find trashy apps everywhere around the world. But I think the Ghanaian developers are working so hard and really catching up to at least the ones who really want to get into the mobile app industry. Did you, at any point in time, use any other database as your back end for your mobile applications?
Okay, so first of all, right after school, I got a job actually. So where I used to work, we were using Oracle.
Okay, 11 grams, 12 grams.
Yeah.
I'm yet to find out when they will reach kilograms, because at this point in time, they are 11 grams, 12 grams. I don't know why. It's just when I noticed their naming convention with grams, I was
who is
carrying this load? But Oracle is a great database storage. Then how was it like?
Oh yeah. I should say Oracle is a very mature database system, and it's far advanced than should I say MySQL? Well, that's up for debate anyway. But in my opinion, I think it's very advanced, because what you can do is that instead of writing your API to just pick data and then manipulate it in your whatever language, whether JavaScript or Java, you could actually do these remote procedures, and then you can just be calling functions. You can do that in MySQL, all right, but you could see that when it comes to Oracle, it's far advanced looking at those features. So that was my first day at those. And then after that, I think I moved on to a new workplace. Later, I had the opportunity to write this software for TV license, actually, the Ghana TV license. That was when I was at IT Consortium. So I used MySQL actually for that.
And how was your experience with the MySQL at that time?
MySQL is cool, I should say. It's cool. But the problem is when you are prototyping, and then let's say you are using an ORM framework.
Migrations.
Yeah.
You know, that's... migrations, yes. Did you have any of these migration challenges in Oracle?
Not really. There were people who were actually handling that. So I was not really touching that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then probably they had this migration issue.
Yeah. They were
using tables, definitely.
Of course.
Eventually you started using MongoDB. Why was that?
From the MySQL, I could see that when I was actually writing applications on that, if I need to make any change, and those of us who love to use ORMs, any small change would mean that you have to change your whole database. What's the name? Is it the schema?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to change
the schema.
Everything. And it's like you go through a lot of hell.
I think you can't have empty columns or whatever.
It's so much irrelevant stuff when you are prototyping, because you just want to see something fast.
The idea is you need to have a consistent table. So
Exactly.
MongoDB gave you the opportunity to quickly prototype with your applications and not really worry about how fixing your backend stories.
Whatever you put in goes. I was in love with that idea.
People don't really appreciate that also. Some discussions I've read online, they frown upon the idea of schemaless applications. Some say, get your schema right from day one as you build, so that you can get the right data in, get the right data out. What do you think of that?
I don't have a problem with that. So depending on what you are building, So let's say if your rights are going to be more, actually, it wouldn't be a very cool idea to actually be using Mongo, because before we get to the hell I've been through with Mongo.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Because when we talked some time ago, your experience with MongoDB was a bit... I did not really agree with you on all the challenges you faced. And I think you were still using... Was it MongoDB 2.1?
No, I was actually on 3.
Mongo 3.
Yeah, you were saying...
Move higher. But on the point of getting a schema ready...
Good.
For me personally, I also think MongoDB, the idea of being able to build applications without thinking about your back end. I have this Django. Okay. And with Django, if I use PostgreSQL, there's this table system where you have to migrate. You have to migrate per any database changes you make, which although it's a 2 second or 3 second process, really you have to do it to get things working.
Right.
But MongoDB was more like just be throwing anything at it, and during development, it's pretty cool. So MongoDB, with your own experience, do you think it is a good option for developers to use it both in development and production?
Well, it depends on the scenario. For me, currently, as I jumped onto Mongo, I don't think I've faced really heavy situations yet. Actually, there are some pretty annoying ones though.
But
I think you can actually use it for production depending on your business needs. Yeah.
What are some of the limitations you faced? Maybe I can help clear some of these.
Of course. I actually want someone who could actually help me fix that.
I have done there's this MongoDB University courses. They have these online courses, and I took
Audacity, right?
No, it's on MongoDB, their website actually.
Okay. The Mongo University.
Yes, all Mongo right. University. And I took one, I think the M101P and M102. I think what I learned from these courses made me understand the MongoDB and where it shines. So right. Maybe with that background, I could help you with some of the challenges you face. So fire it away.
Let me just blow that
but
up.
But before we go to the limitations and me coming in with what I think you could have done around it, let's quickly go for a quick commercial break. We'll be back with more discussion with
Rodney.
With Rodney Buache. Tonight's episode is sponsored by The African Dream and supported by Barcamp Ghana. The African Dream is all about telling the African story from an African perspective to awaken humanity. Check out theafricandream.net to read and watch amazing African stories by great men and women of African origins. Barcamp Ghana brings people interested in Ghana together for an informal networking forum where attendees share ideas, discuss interests, network and learn. Visit barcampghana.org to learn more about the next Barcamp close to you. Stay tuned, we'll be back shortly. Hello developers out there and welcome back. If you just joined us, we're here with Rodney Buache. He's a software engineer with experience in Java and building Android applications. Today's discussions are basically around MongoDB, and we're here to talk with Rodney. Before the commercial break, we were talking about some of the limitations he met with MongoDB, and I'm going to share some of my experience with building MongoDB applications and some of the things he could have done. Maybe that could help you if you are facing any of these challenges. You could know how to go around it and learn something from these. So, Rodney, the challenges you faced, please list them and let's hear it.
Okay, the challenges I faced, actually, I was able to overcome all of them.
All of them?
Some research and reading.
And some hacks here and there.
But one that I think is missing. Okay, before that, I think I should praise Mongo for some. I should actually praise Mongo for some at some places. Actually, what I love about Mongo is that you just don't really care about how your data... base schema and all those stuff is. You just, especially in Spring Boot, which I love very much because I love to be productive, You just specify the URL to your MongoDB. That's all. You just build classes,
start interfaces, pushing,
and just push.
Yeah.
You just push things in, and it works.
Yes, it works very well. Many developers love that because at the end of the day, if you finally have a schema for your application, you could just go in to take out what you don't need using a query or whatever. Then
exactly.
You can drop the documents or fields you don't want.
And you can be making us a million changes, billion changes.
Yes.
It doesn't stop you, actually. You don't have to be.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I think that is a feature of many NoSQL databases out there. So I've seen a couple of them.
I used Redis too, I actually loved it.
Redis.
Because it was in memory.
In memory.
Yeah.
People, if your systems are going to have 100% uptime, then having something in memory can be a good idea. But I don't know how that works when you, in Ghana where you have outages. So if you're running it on your local server, you should be ready.
You have a problem.
Yes, you should be ready to ensure it is constantly up.
Yeah, okay.
It's really great, and I think many people who go into MongoDB initially say that as something that really is awesome, and they don't have to think about what they throw at it.
Yeah.
But then, aside the goodness of MongoDB, come with the limitations or restrictions you found.
The only thing right now, which is making me have doubts about Mongo currently, is that you see how you could give relations to tables,
yes,
and do stuff,
yes.
That is what I see it's lacking, actually.
Yes,
because what currently I'm doing is I'm linking IDs.
Yes,
that's what I use to serve as links.
That means when you want to make a change, you have to
Keep a reference of that ID, go query it,
yes,
and make sure it's consistent.
Yes,
and I think that is quite laborious when you are building a CRUD application and you have
to be
keeping track of all that.
Yes, that's true. People. Uh-huh. Get annoyed with the idea of no joins in a NoSQL database, which initially, if you come in with a MySQL or a relational database background, that sounds like a restriction, a hindrance. But it got to a point I came to appreciate that without the joins, you still can do something. It's about flattening your database. And Firebase, if you start with Firebase database, they're going to tell you that
I've not really tried that. So
it's a NoSQL backend as well.
Okay.
And they are going to tell you every second on the way, please, Rodney, flatten your database. Because people come into the NoSQL database approach and they want to, if they hear of nesting, they are like, okay, so I'm going to have a person, then the person is going to have these kind of attributes, then a person, the
then
house.
Then just throw the...
Then before you realize, you have a document with about 4 or 5 nested stuff under it, sub-documents, which can make querying annoying, can make updating them a bit tedious. Querying them can also be a challenge because you end up trying to retrieve documents with their sub-documents, and it doesn't really get interesting when you are trying to scale with that.
Actually, for that, it was a rookie mistake I did when I started with Mongo.
I also made a similar mistake,
but
with
I
Firebase.
Saw that it was not going to make sense scaling up.
Good.
So I actually migrated from that.
And very, Firebase, very actually, I think on a Stack Overflow question, I was quickly told to stop that kind of nesting and start to flatten my database, which when you did.
It's
made everything look clearer and everything made sense. So what I can say with regards to people coming with the joins idea, you can flatten your database and still do it without having joins.
All right.
Although joins is a great idea, it can lead to hitting multiple tables unnecessarily. The idea with the document structure is to help you flatten your database and make sure when you go querying the data, you are getting the most necessary data out of that query. Unlike joins, which you can be hitting for a user query, but then it's joined to another table, to another table, to another one. And before you realize, you are making about 20 table hits in a single query behind the scenes.
Okay.
Which can be stressful for a database backend. When you try to scale, it gets challenging. But the NoSQL approach allows you to flatten your database, optimizing the database right from the word go. So there's a lack of joins, which can be difficult sometimes, but it can be a blessing in disguise, actually, when people embrace the NoSQL idea. MongoDB has what they call the aggregation framework. I don't know if you've tried it.
No, not really. I think you will have to shed more light on that.
The aggregation framework, it is part of MongoDB, but part of it is on its own called a framework because of how good it is.
Okay. So, what can you summarize it?
It's more like a pipeline. Uh-huh. So you go, I want you give it a query, like maybe I want people with a name called Rodney who got a mark of, let's say, 50% or above, who are from this part of the country or this part of the world, who also have these kind of skills, give me that resource. So it will pass that through a pipeline. It goes to query, I want these numbers, I want these people.
Oh, okay.
So
I think,
it's more like...
I think I've seen that in the docs.
It's similar to, I think, other databases have those kind of aggregation. Django, okay. The ORM has an API for doing that with the database backend. But MongoDB actually makes the process beautiful. And with that, you can make interesting queries without having to create relations.
Okay, so you can still do it without...
A kind of... Uh-huh. It can be a kind of... think of it as making a join, but then you are making the join based on decisions you want. But if you are writing your own queries with your JavaScript, you could do that because you just go query from one, come use the result. Maybe you got an ID, then go around to another collection, go query because you have the database collection. Right. You have your database. They call it, I think, cases. So you just go out, in, out. You come, you go here, out. It can take steps, but then if you actually want to do joins, it is possible.
All right.
It is just a little bit difficult around it. All trying to tell you, please flatten your database. So when you flatten your database, you make queries easier, you make saving easier, and it makes the whole process beautiful. I think I'm taking over from you. I'm trying to explain.
No. It's also when something very important to me.
When I got into MongoDB, I had this kind of joins, but...
You were with the relational mindset.
I've worked with relations all my life. So you make queries and it goes easily.
Yeah.
But in MongoDB was trying to, you know, restrict me. But after appreciating how good a NoSQL structure can be, everything made sense.
And you see what I love about these NoSQLs? You see, it gives you in JSON. And it's like, JSON is a web standard that I really love.
Exactly. They are objects.
Working with, you are just working with objects.
And it really works
well. And
with
OP languages, it's, I mean, superb.
If you have something like JavaScript, you are working with the JavaScript client. You are already in objects. So you are communicating with the MongoDB easily. And it makes retrieving, saving from, if you attach it to Angular, then it's like an icing on the cake because Angular, HTTP, post, get.
Actually, that's the same architecture I'm using on that.
And MongoDB, Angular project currently. Yes. And so it makes MongoDB very easy for everyone to get started with and build applications with. One thing I have read people complain about is when they make data submissions and they have no idea whether it's saved or not.
It's saved or not.
You actually
the last time you were talking about
how are you doing it and what did you expect?
What I was using, I'm using Spring Boot actually, and it's the fastest thing you could actually use, whether you like it or not.
I have no idea what the Spring Boot is. What is it?
Spring Boot. It's a Java framework actually.
And I think it was the one you showed me the other day that it interfaces with
any database you want.
Okay.
Yeah. So what is it? It's just like it has this mantra of what's the name? These people, Ruby. You see how they do things magically for you.
They say convention over configuration.
Yeah, over configuration. Okay. Exactly. And I love that. I know you don't like that.
Yeah, Python is like explicit is better than implicit. So
you want to control every aspect.
No, let me know what I'm doing.
And that is not productive enough to me.
Well,
I don't think it's smart.
That is debatable because I've had people with those convention over configuration.
Why do you love Angular?
When you do.
Wait, why do you love Angular?
because Angular lets me take control of many things I want to do.
By default, there's magic in Angular. That's why I also love it, and I'm using it.
When you get to know what the magic is doing,
and you can still,
it makes sense,
extend it to what you want.
That actually allows you to abstract your queries or your
written interfaces. So you just call the interface.
Okay.
So if I'm writing a CRUD application right now, I can write a basic CRUD application. I can knock it out in about 5 minutes right now.
Okay. That is fine.
That's cool.
But when it comes to saving the data, what actually did you expect?
Actually, what was happening was that I was doing some multiple queries.
Okay.
Multiple writes.
Okay.
And the way it was, what I found was that when I do it in a loop, and then I am just writing it in one loop, let's say, iterating over, let's say, 1,000 records, and then I'm just saving it into a database. What I found was that there was inconsistencies. And it seems, I don't know if it was the driver. What could it be, actually?
It could be anything.
I actually posted it on, what's the name? Stack Overflow.
Okay. And what?
And I had a cool feedback, actually.
Okay. I'm sure there can be reasons. It can be, were you doing everything on a local device?
Yeah.
It was on a local machine. It is important, if you are very serious or if you think it is critical for knowing whether your data was saved, please ensure you do your write consents properly. I think there's a write consent where you want feedback.
I remember you told me that.
Write consent, they have 0, 1 or something.
I have to actually check on that.
If you really want to confirm, it can be very confidential or very critical data, like maybe medical records or something like that. That is critical.
You
want 100% guarantee that it went or it did not.
Yeah.
If it did not, tell me and I'll send it back again. Then make sure to confirm your write consents. People come with the idea of, we love how it's working. So they end up throwing a billion requests to MongoDB and expect everything to sink down. It doesn't work that way.
I think that was a misuse, actually.
MongoDB isn't magical. It is a tool. So when people expect magic from it...
You see, my problem is, actually, I don't know how I came to put my trust in an NPM something.
NPM as in...
A node.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, Mongo was actually written in Node.
Yes, it had that as a background.
I don't know how, because I actually used to not like JavaScript. I just felt it wasn't
basically they have different interfaces or clients for it. You could use the Node client, you could use the JavaScript.
I was using the Java client.
They have the Ruby, they have the Python. So
my problem is Node itself is a mess. And
that is another topic for another day.
It's another topic for another
if you are using it to communicate with your MongoDB, and you are building applications using JavaScript, I think using the JavaScript client is a great idea. If you are building a Django application, the Python client is great. If you are into Ruby on Rails, the Ruby client is great.
Yeah.
But try to know how to use each of these clients, and then as much as possible, make sure your write consents are in a way that you want. Confirm you are actually saving it. When you throw, I think there are tests online where people throw data to MongoDB like pa, and they expect it to save, but then it's not saving. Anything can go wrong.
I think the CTO actually came to defend it on Hacker News.
Yes, and I saw when
people were bashing it.
Yes, many discussions I've read online really don't say good things about MongoDB. It is important to know how to use it and some of the caveats. So by knowing that, you are able to build your application from ground up, fixing all these loopholes and doing what you want with it. MongoDB has the beauty of being right and reading. Whether you are reading or writing, it kind of balances it so well that with a WireTiger engine, you are able to get great reads and awesome writes. People only have to get into MongoDB with the right mentality. MongoDB...
Actually, the current projects I'm on, I'm doing so many hacks
with MongoDB. I'm trying
to make it work the way I expect it.
Yes, and you. Sometimes
I don't fully trust Mongo yet. At this point, but I love it anyway.
and the idea of people, big companies, corporations are using MongoDB.
Yeah,
and MongoDB, they have a community version and they have the enterprise version.
Yeah.
Probably these big companies are using the enterprise versions where
they're having support here and there.
Yes, which you can call the MongoDB guys and, you know, they can help you with
something. You see, the Dev Congress in Ghana, actually, they think MongoDB is a, what's the name?
It's the devil.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, it was just sold. It's just a marketing something that made MongoDB.
That is unfortunate to hear.
It's unfortunate, actually.
Developers should... you see, when developers go into a new project or use a new tool with a background in using another tool...
I don't blame them. Yeah.
And they expect this tool they are trying to use... Way. It doesn't work that way. They need to adapt their way of viewing whatever application
exactly. They are doing. It's just like moving from OOP to functional.
Yes.
Because initially, when I tried moving to JavaScript, what I saw was drawing me back was that I was so focused on it should be working in the OOP style until I switched my mind to the stupid branch.
You have to. When you get...
I was writing good JavaScript.
And you will be happy.
There's this case with this in JavaScript.
This, yes.
Let's say you are writing JavaScript and you don't use a fed arrow function. And you reference this, you see that the service you are trying to reference is not working.
And people will go crazy like, why isn't JavaScript this way?
Yeah.
But what they are forgetting is, why aren't you changing your mentality? Yeah.
It's just about the mindset.
And so people should approach this Dev Congress.
Yeah.
If they are listening to us right now,
I'm sure.
Please use MongoDB for what it was designed for.
Exactly.
Don't try to think MySQL when using MongoDB.
That won't work. Silent works. Yay, he hates Mongo.
Well, he will come to love Mongo when he starts viewing Mongo.
I'm loving Mongo actually.
It is great. For me, I also had these challenges, but after taking, if you have the opportunity, you can take the MongoDB course on their website. It's university.mongodb.com, and you really come to appreciate why certain things are done the way it is done and some of the workarounds, because I think in the course there were sections where they will write a MySQL query and they'll say, how will you go about it in MongoDB? That kind of comparison helped with knowing how to approach your application and what to do in cases where you want to achieve something MySQL. So please consider MongoDB for what it is. Try to use it as MongoDB and not as maybe Oracle 16 grams
or
MySQL.
So all I can actually say is before you are switching to a technology, I think you should actually check your mindset too.
Try to know what you are getting into because it might not necessarily be what you are looking for.
Yeah. And even you may not even need MongoDB in the first place.
Yes.
Depending on the project.
So MongoDB isn't the holy grail.
It is not.
It's not meant to solve.
It shines in certain situations, areas, but not in...
It's not always. So people get into MongoDB with all the excitement. It doesn't meet their kind of needs and they end up...
The happiness they came in with.
Yes, they get angry with MongoDB. Try to read about... Before you are introducing MongoDB into your stack, into your company, sharing with your developers, make sure you know what you are going into.
Yeah.
If you are not willing to change your mentality to adapt the platform or the tool as it is, then try to stick with your MySQL. Good. MySQL is well tested. It is great. It's been what we've been using for decades, and
it's not going to go away.
It's not going to go away because
just like Java,
it really shines. No, you know, if you're looking at what is not going to go away, it's rather Python. Java.
Oh, yeah, I love the Python, syntax of Python, actually.
The reason why Java is still in existence, I think, is because of Android. Is the reason why
Java... I don't think they should have actually... Right now, I think JS will be a better fit for Android. Using Java for front ends, I don't Java, think it's the best.
Android is so Java rooted that
they can't just change it.
I don't know how they just can't change how it. Difficult that, because it's gonna be really
unless too someone much of decides a to
build
task.
Something like Android, but then using another programming language from scratch. Because trying to change Android from the roots to something
too
else.
Much work.
That would be very huge.
I think they are on API 25 or 26.
They are currently at 25. I think updated it.
I've lost count actually.
Yeah, they keep upgrading, which is great, but it helps with new changes they make and if you want to build for different. For me, I'm not into using Java to build. I use my Ionic framework.
And that's not bad.
I'm trying to
I love that.
I'm trying to cheat a bit. Instead of learning how to write Swift, learn how to write C# for Visual Studio.
It has got its own bad sides, you know.
Today, it's as like of you are 2017,
you are not reading the docs. No, it's cool to use a framework like React or something for across a native mobile application whether iOS or Android. All right, but you see, when you don't go through the documentation of, let's say, iOS and then Android,
and understand,
and understand it very well.
Yeah,
it's like you'll be doing yourself a great disservice.
Yeah, because you have to build to match whatever platform.
Yeah,
but Ionic framework, for instance, has this kind of abstraction. So, if you are building for Android, it uses the Material Design. If you are building for iOS, they have their own. So maybe Android is going to be rounded.
I just hope it's as promising as it is.
It's great. And recently, I wrote an article about how to optimize your Ionic 2 framework app. And just following these steps, I was able to get somewhere about 50% size reduction in terms of the APK
size.
That's cool. Plus how fast it runs. The boot times was somewhere, I initially had about 10 to 15 seconds, but then after these optimization tricks, I was able to reduce it down to about 2 to 3 seconds.
I just hope it's not Xamarin in disguise. Xamarin looks very good on the outside, but if you are thrown into a project...
Ionic, the guys are doing really great. They've built an interesting framework, and when I got into
I think Max Link, that guy
great.
On Twitter, I think it's cool.
And they're doing a really good
job. I would love to actually explore React for native mobile development.
React
Native.
I actually, you know,
have you tried that?
I've never tried React because it's at a fundamental level is the clash of two big giants, Facebook and Google.
And Google.
Google is Angular, Facebook is like, okay, let's also do something, and they started with React. Different approaches, different way of thinking, different philosophies and principles. But I love Angular.
I love Angular. That's what I'm using.
It's great.
It's great. For that
it
one.
Is great.
So, no doubt.
I think these all have different approaches, and it all boils down to what you feel comfortable with and what you love. People love React, and sometimes they are benchmarks. This is good somewhere. Yeah. This is great somewhere. You know, I think back to MongoDB, people should use MongoDB for what it is and enjoy the benefit it comes with. If you want to get into MongoDB, actually assess what you want to achieve and really be ready to go into it. It's been great having Rodney with us today. We shared ideas relating to MongoDB. And what is your main focus for today and your concluding remarks?
Okay, actually, I think MongoDB is a very wonderful tool if you really want to be productive and actually want to prototype fast, and it could also be used in production, right? So I would say it's a go.
So you can recommend MongoDB to others, right?
I will.
Okay.
I don't know about yourself.
For me, MongoDB, I'm all in.
I know you are all in.
Yes, I think it's awesome. People should give it a try. You know what you are going into and try to play ball with how it works.
Yeah.
If you feel it's not going to work, you just dump it and switch to what works. There are options out there.
Yeah.
MongoDB is great for read writes. There are different options for writes, majority writes. If you want to, if your application is going to be more of writes, there are great database, NoSQL backends for it.
Yeah.
If your application is going to be more of reads, there are great application tools out there. So just know what you are trying to build and try to stick to how Mongo works, and you really build something awesome with MongoDB.
And the NoSQL technology is actually blending with OOP.
Yes. So, yes.
You are going to save yourself.
Developers today are enjoying it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rodney Bwachi, for joining us today.
Yeah.
In summary, we can conclude by saying, use MongoDB, just use it the way it was designed, and know what you are going in for. If it doesn't work for you the way you want, just drop it and switch to something that works. You can find Rodney on GitHub. Can you share your GitHub handle with us?
It's rbkgh.
Rbkgh, yeah. On GitHub.
On GitHub. And then rbk_unlimited on Twitter.
On Twitter. Okay. So you can check out Rodney's projects on GitHub and get in touch on Twitter. It was great having Rodney with us today, and we hope to get in touch with him some other time to talk more about Java, MongoDB.
There are so many topics.
Convention over configuration. We're going to have a huge discussion.
I'm sure there are so many developers who would love to come and talk.
Sure. So thank you so much, and we hope to get in touch some other time.
All right.
We'll be right back with more tips and tricks on how to optimize your Ionic 2 framework application. Tonight's episode is sponsored by The African Dream and supported by Barcamp Ghana. The African Dream is all about telling the African story from an African perspective to awaken humanity. Check out theafricandream.net to read and watch amazing African stories by great men and women of African origins. Barcamp Ghana brings people interested in Ghana together for an informal networking forum where attendees share ideas, discuss interests, network and learn. Visit barcampghana.org to learn more about the next barcamp close to you. Stay tuned, we'll be back shortly. Welcome back to the tips and tricks segment. In my discussion with Rodney, I made mention of how I optimize my Ionic 2 application for production. Here, I share tips that can help you also improve the performance of your Ionic app when going into production mode. This is important because users care about performance and speed, and it is essential that you meet up to those standards. You need to, first of all, enable Angular production mode. You can do so by going to the main.ts file and import the enable prod mode from the Angular core directory. Then simply call the enable prod mode function. What I explain in this section can be found in the Ionic Optimized Ionic 2 App for Production article on Kofi's Dev blog. After enabling the production mode in your Ionic application, you should expect to see about 50% increase in application load times on your Android device. The next thing you should take care of is building with the production flag with your Ionic. So it's going to be something like Ionic build Android --prod, then --release if you are building it as a release candidate. Make sure to include the production flag. By including the production flag, you stand the chance of reducing the file size to about 30% lower than without the production flag. Another thing you can do, that's the third point, is changing all your click events to tap events. When you use a click, since the application is running in a web view approach, it will try to behave like someone clicking in the browser. There's a 300 milliseconds, roughly a 300 milliseconds delay when you use a click event, because it wastes during that period of time to actually ascertain whether it is a double click or it is a click. By changing all your events from click to tap in your application, you stand a chance of making sure user interaction with your application is instant and works immediately. This isn't an issue any longer, simply because Ionic, behind the scenes, when you're running in platform, if you're running on a device, it automatically interprets any click event to be a tap. So there's no longer a 300 milliseconds delay. If you apply the click to an anchor, that's an anchor tag or a button tag. So if you apply click to a button or an anchor tag, the delay is removed and you don't have to worry about that. But then when it is used anywhere else apart from these two areas, you should expect a 300 milliseconds, roughly a 300 milliseconds delay. With these tips in mind, you should have a smooth running application that performs well and users love to interact with. Thank you so much for joining us. It was great having Rodney on the show to discuss MongoDB and some of the challenges he faced. If this is your first time tuning in, you can grab this broadcast as a podcast. Go check the Kofi's Dev Radio website, and we will come your way next week, same time, broadcasting another interesting discussion with developers. Stay tuned and hope to catch you next week.